Hey everyone, how's it going? Episode number 16 of the TN Mortgage Podcast with John Coleman and me, your co-host, Norm Schriever. John, say hello to everyone.
Hi, Norm. Thanks very much for organizing this. As usual, you have blackmailed me into doing this on video today rather than audio, but here we are, looking forward to sharing some hopefully good information for our listeners.
Absolutely. TN Mortgage, episode number 16. And as always, thanks so much for listening, subscribing, and sharing with your friends. So, John, TN Mortgage number 16, and I think congratulations are in order because you were recently featured in a great article about mortgage and real estate in Dublin.
Yes, no, well, I'm actually, well, thanks for bringing that to my attention. You're embarrassing me slightly. I think all the credit goes to you, in truth, because there was an article in, there was a big supplement in the Sunday Independent, one of the leading Sunday newspapers here, that were doing a kind of a full supplement on helping first-time buyers get into their home. And they got a call from one of the journalists in the Sunday Independent who had found me, probably be down to the work that you've done on my behalf, keeping me visible out there. So thank you for that. It was literally, I was invited to go on to a web TV station interview, okay, which was kind of a surreal experience. I went along, was interviewed in front of an audience for a 10-minute chat, tapping in between. I kind of felt like I've done these TV shows now. It was on a week after that, then I had the interview for the actual the newspaper. And it was, well, you just try to get educators. That's my motto and everything. So you're just trying to give good information, what mistakes people are making when they're going to apply for a mortgage. And that information was put out onto the national newspaper, which, well, from a business point of view, was great. And I really think it's down to you, in fairness, with all the, how you're keeping me visible, how you're forcing me to do all these things that are outside my comfort zone 100%.
It was like a hostage video every time. And now, like we said, you tolerate it.
I've embraced it, not because I enjoy doing it, but I can see the value from a business point of view that it brings. And I think you got me doing it during COVID initially, whereby I had nothing else to do.
We had to do it virtually. Well, you hit the nail on the head too. And it's, you know, about the webinars, the articles, we do this podcast, and it's all for education. And that seems to me the name of the game, especially with first time buyers. And so I think you do a better job than most at that. And that's why you're getting recognized. So yeah, congratulations to you.
Thank you. I often say, like, I'm not competing with other brokers though. I always feel I think as a sort of an industry, the broker's role is an educational role. I think as an industry, we educate people well enough that our competition is not other brokers. It's the people going directly to the banks. So if across the board or as an industry, people are getting good service, good information from brokers and who are managing the process well for them, well, why would anyone go anywhere near directly to the bank, right? Mm. So while I pride myself on giving a very good service, I also want my colleagues in the same, who are similar, do the same things, need to do the same, so that we get the reputation across the board as one of, we're going to use a broker, then I'll get my share of that business by just,
of course,
by virtue of something. Yeah. So it's not me trying to be better than my competition, it's me trying to be better than someone going directly to the bank, you know?
Yeah, and education helps everyone, no matter if they use you or not. So a rising tide lifts all boats, right?
Yeah, I'm 100% big believer in that.
And tell us again the name of the newspaper and where people can find it.
Sunday Independent. On the Move. Moving Up was actually the name of the supplement. It was a supplement specifically for property buyers.
Wonderful. Yeah, we encourage
people. My mother was very proud.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll have that cut out and framed or something, huh?
Absolutely. Or some, I think they do say everyone gets 15 minutes of fame in life, so there maybe that might have been my 15 minutes, you know.
Hey, it's better to be in that section of the newspaper than the police blotter or something, or the scandal page, huh?
Absolutely. Yes, no, I wouldn't be getting Sunday dinner anymore, that's for sure.
So, John, we touched on a topic here in the TN Mortgage podcast, which I really want to expand upon, and I think most people don't know this and don't know the reasons behind it, and that is why someone who's buying a property should not go directly to the bank when it comes to their mortgage, but should actually go to a mortgage broker like yourself?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. And I don't want to say people should absolutely use my service, right? This is as an industry, right? Why should someone use a mortgage broker? Well, my view on it is I want the brokerage industry as a whole to be offering value across the board, okay? At the first port of call in, you know, I've mentioned this a many times, is the roadmap that we produce. So everyone needs to educate themselves as to where they stand and what they need to do to get what they want, right? Dealing with a broker, he's going to give you an overview of the whole market, okay? He's going to give you a sort of a step-by-step guide as to, as a customer, I might have gone to one bank and they might have said, no, we can't help you, right? Because we can't help you. That doesn't mean you can't get a mortgage. You might be kind of disheartened because one bank is going to say no, they're all going to say no. That's not always the case, right? So by dealing with a broker, he or she will have the knowledge of the whole market of all the different banks and will advise you where you stand right now and what you might need to do to get where you want, okay? Obviously, individuals don't need a broker, okay? But I firmly believe they should be using a broker because, well, ultimately, if you go directly to the bank and you're buying, for example, a new property, and bank A have offered you X, right? And you think that's the best deal in the market. But the new property takes 6 to 9 months to be built, okay? Now, bank A aren't going to come around knocking on your door and say, by the way, Mr. Customer, we've approved you. You should really leave us and go to a different bank, right? But while you're dealing with a broker, his role in the market is to make sure he's getting you the best possible deal at the moment when you're coming to close on the property. So you're looking at basically maybe a month or 6 weeks out from the closing date. You will get a forensic analysis again of the market to make sure that it's still the best deal for you. Okay, so again, by going directly to the bank, you're not going to get that level of independence, really, okay, of someone who has your best interests at heart, not the bank point of view.
You don't have an advocate, right? And this is the same in the US with the real estate and mortgage. I work for a lot of mortgage brokers versus the big banks, and they just want to fit you in their guidelines or not, but they don't care. You know, you're just a file on their desk, and exactly what you said, you don't know if you're getting the best deal. You don't know if your file is going to be presented in the best light to fit guidelines, and it certainly won't be updated, like you said, with a forensic market analysis. Yeah. There's also evidence, like studies in the US, and I'm sure it parallels in Ireland, but I don't know about the dollar amount, that with brokers, on average, people save about $9,800 or something like that by using a broker instead of just going to a big bank or going to one lender.
Well, again, I don't have that information, so I wouldn't want to make a claim that I wouldn't stand over, because that wouldn't, someone could go directly to the bank that I might have been bringing them to anyway, so it would be wrong of me to make that absolute claim. But if you get the wrong choice, yeah, then there certainly could be significant impact on a long-term basis, right? So talking to someone who has access to the banks will at least make sure you're making the best informed decision. Doesn't mean the decision you make yourself wouldn't be the right decision. I suppose there's actually you touched on it there. There's two other reasons that I would strongly recommend. One, we wouldn't put an application into a bank until we believe you're ready. So as well as looking at the forensic analysis around the rates, we're looking at a forensic analysis around your paperwork, okay? So I often say to people, go away for 2 to 3 months, get this in order, do X, Y, and Z. Now, I try to give that information at the start, but the paperwork sometimes tells a different story to what people actually might think they're doing. So when you see the paperwork, you might go, hold on, you thought you were saving 2,000 euro per month, but in real terms, you might be saving 2,000 euro per month, but you're spending 1,500. So you might need to do X, Y, and Z. So when we're presenting an application, you touched on, we're presenting it in the best possible light, okay? And the other value of a broker or using a broker across would be, well, we have a representative within each bank whose job it is to keep us happy, okay? So that we bring business to them. That's the sort of, the key element of their role. If you go directly to the bank, you may not be able to get hold of anyone who may. So you're kind of sitting on the phone, you're on hold, you're trying to get hold, they're not responding to your emails. At least by using a broker, now, I'm not saying we have an immediate answer for you, but we have someone, we have a direct link to someone whose job it is to start screaming and shouting to make sure your application doesn't just get dropped or doesn't get fallen. Or now, I don't want to pretend that we turn things around immediately because you're still dealing with banks, but you know you've got a go-to person, you've got a broker who's there for you. And ultimately, really, when someone in the bank, they get paid a salary, okay? When you're dealing with a broker,
that's it.
Their salary is dependent on getting you the mortgage and ultimately helping you get a home, you know?
And getting the keys. And with the bank, if you know, these, like you're talking about, you have representation with the broker. So someone actually looking out for you, advocating for you, someone who has experience, who has, like you said, they can't snap their fingers and it's not magic tricks, but they've done this so many times and they have direct connections with the banks. They see other people's mistakes. But if you just go it alone and you go through this whole process and there's one wrong thing on your bank statement, or, you know, like you said, the consequence is you don't get the house and it all falls apart. And so I almost think of it like going to court. Like if you got, you know, you were going in a big trial or something, you would want an attorney and you'd want someone who's looking out for you and representing you and painting the best picture when in front of the judge and the jury. And that's sort of like a
I'm not going to put myself in the lawyer. But yeah, no, the analogy is good. The analogy, and you've heard me say this before, that I view myself as is a school teacher. Okay. The school teacher from your past that you didn't like, but you knew he was making sense. You knew what he was saying was he had your best interest at heart, and he was telling you X, Y, and Z with your ultimate, if you listened and you took on board what your school teacher was saying, you'd be all right in the end. You might like what he's telling you at that moment in time. So I would almost view the broker role as the sort of, I always say the word education, but even to use a profession, the school teacher, he's there to help you get to the point.
You make your clients write on the chalkboard 100 times, I will organize my bank accounts. I will organize my bank accounts. Huh?
There will be no gambling on my bank account.
Yeah, I'm saving exactly.
1,000 euro. That's what I'm doing every month. No. Sorry. My mother was a teacher, and in my past, I always had in my head that I would have liked to be a teacher. So I do almost view this role that I have as a teacher role, whereby it is education.
And that's so important. Yeah. And like you said, the mistakes that people could make, you see the pitfalls, you know, where the banks, you know, will deny an application or people get tripped up, the timing, the communication. Someone needs, you know, a coach. Another analogy, it's like playing a professional.
I'm happier with a coach than a lawyer now, in fairness. Okay?
Yeah. We'll keep the criminal lawyer out of it. But you're like a coach out there making sure they win the game, to use another stupid analogy. But it's great. And that's some great reasons why people should use a mortgage broker, whether it's you or another wonderful mortgage broker in the industry.
And there are a number of them. There are a number of them out there. And the ones I'd be kind of recommending, look for brokers that are embracing technology, because that will help. I'm spending a lot of money on trying to make our systems as user-friendly as possible and using modern technology to help process, to make it easier. And that they'd be the kind of brokers you should be looking for, whether that be JC Mortgages or many other good brokers out there, you know?
Yeah, and to that point, you know, if people don't want to use you and don't want to use JC Mortgages as a mortgage broker, I'm happy to give a couple names and phone numbers right now of your competitors. So they could go to, if they don't want to use you, they could go to good job sometimes.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
I'm not editing that out, by the way.
No, keep that in. That's fair enough. That's funny. Sorry, that's part of our vibe here. So you can roll with that for sure.
Great information. Yeah. And of course, if anyone just has other questions, they could put it in the comments. They could email you. They could message you. Customized roadmaps when people apply. So JC Mortgages.
By the way, I'm just on that. What I'm now doing, talking about technology, I mentioned this to you, what I'm now actually doing with the roadmap is I'm actually recording a video of the roadmap, explaining to people the points in the roadmap that actually make sense. So rather than just getting an email that's outlining it for you, I'm actually spending time going through the important things to show you what you qualify for, what you might need to do to get your own home. Obviously, leaving a little bit of information behind, so that I don't want to give everything away straight away from a business point of view, it wouldn't make sense, but ultimately highlighting the key issues around what someone needs to do to get themselves ready, you know?
Yeah, and you showed me an example of that, and that's just amazing value for someone who's not even a client, and you spend time on that, it's personalized, and so to your point, they don't just get a bunch of information or a bunch of text they're supposed to read and interpret because it's a little scary, it's a little overwhelming when you're a first-time buyer. They actually get you recording a video, guiding them through it, which is a wonderful value.
It's going back to that teacher analogy again. Yeah. That's my, how I own, it's always my little blackboard. I'm going, now.
All right, John, now on the TN Mortgage Podcast, you want to talk about a topic that you're seeing come up a lot with certain clients and helping people get ready for the mortgage process. And that is how to effectively send money home without triggering any red flags when it does come time to get a mortgage.
Yeah, no, this is something that it gets asked many, many times, and the advice is almost changing. Because what I've seen recently with one of the banks in particular is if they see money going home on a regular basis, they almost view that as a loan, okay? They view that as if you've got a commitment to pay 300, 400 euro to family back home, okay? It triggers two things doing that. One, it triggers the question, definite question, what they look for is an Experian credit report to make sure you don't have any loans back home. And that's a real painful process to actually get that report. Then the second thing is if they view that as a loan, so we're saying, we've been presenting to the bank saying, hold on, this isn't an absolute obligation. This is something people are doing to help their family back home, but they don't have to do it. They're doing it out of choice, right? And the banks are taking this very, in my opinion, draconian view on it, or very unfair view on it, saying, hold on, this is my money. My view on this is, this might actually be able to do what I want with it. But they're saying, no, they're saying, this is a commitment you're paying on. And it can actually reduce the amount of money the banks will lend you, and can kill a deal. So the advice I give people, and it's probably not advice that I should be giving, but it's the advice I would say, is if you want to get money back home, right, do it, but do it in a clever way, okay? Do it in a way that's not going to show up in your bank account. So this is, like, no one will ever know. Take money out, take cash out, give it to a friend, and then get the friend to send money back to your family. That will then, actually, when the banks are looking at your bank accounts, they won't. There's no track record on that. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm not sure if this is the correct advice to be giving people, but it's one I feel quite strongly about, because I do not believe people should be punished for helping their family out, because it's money that they're doing it. It's their own choice to do it.
Yeah.
So to be penalized on the back of helping people out, these are my paymasters to a point, but I really fundamentally...
Well, and to your point, it's not a debt, it's not a loan, it's not a legal commitment where they have to keep doing it. So maybe, you know, it's their money. They could do whatever they want. If they could afford it after they buy a home, great. If not, then they could stop. But it's up to them, yeah.
But one of the banks is taking a view on it, which I don't agree with. So that will be one. So in real terms, if you're planning to get a mortgage, stop sending money back home would be the message, or stop sending money back home via your bank accounts. Okay. Or more than one way to skin a cat on that. So, and I'm sure that would be done, because what you don't want is your application being affected by something that truly is something you're doing to help your family. And it's something you don't have to do, but it's something you're choosing to do. So actually, you can probably feel my passion in this. I feel very strongly about that. But this is all about helping people get ready and helping present to a bank in a way that isn't going to bite them because of them just helping people back home, you know.
Yeah, that's great advice. You probably just helped a lot of people, you know, not get disqualified or be able to afford the home they like. So thank you, John, for that insight. So, people, thanks again, as always, for watching and listening to the TN Mortgage Podcast, episode number 16. We had a lot of fun. We went over some great topics. We hope it's of value to you. So thanks for sharing, subscribing, and being a fan and advocate of the podcast. And John, I'll leave it to you to say goodbye.
Well, as always, Norm, thank you. You forced me to do this via camera. I hope I passed the test. And hopefully we will be back for episode number 17 very soon.
Absolutely. Take care, everyone.
God bless.